check it out. We're at SkyCon.
We are at SkyCon.
Welcome to Season 4, Episode 13 of Lug Radio.
And SkyCon.
Unlucky for some, but not for us, because we're at SkyCon for free.
SkyCon is, just to clarify, in the middle of fucking nowhere.
No, it's in a city called Limerick.
Limerick.
We ought to explain a little bit more, to be honest with you. SkyCon is put on by Skynet, the University of Limerick Community Society.
Robot cyborgs.
Yep. Yeah. And they're basically putting on their first conference to celebrate the 15th anniversary of Skynet. And there's talkers here like...
Speakers. sound like that fucking Irish twat who's filming us right now.
There's speakers here such as John O'Bacon, Stuart Langridge, Aid Bradshaw and Matthew Revelle.
Spot the difference.
Aid Bradshaw has failed to make it. We're being filmed, incidentally, for the first time ever by fucking Harry Potter over there in the corner with his,
Simon
with
Wilson
his bloody look-alike. Camcorder. I genuinely thought, when I first saw him, I was like, hang on, you're not Simon Wilson. I really thought it was Simon Wilson.
He does look like him.
Harry Potter, turn around and film yourself for a second.
Okay, this is making good radio. So, there's various people here with beards and non-beards.
Medical problems.
That's not really nice when I talk about Alan Cox.
And, we've been very well looked after so far, so that's good.
I feel like shit this morning.
Yeah, we did stay up till 4 a.m.
Yeah, not only that, my talk was the first talk on this morning, and I've got a cough and a cold and jet lag.
It is interesting, though, to note that there's a nightclub literally beneath our hotel. You walk through this kind of... It's like, I don't know, it's like you're walking down to some kind of horse racing track or something.
Yeah, it's crammed.
What?
Crammed to the roof. What
are you talking about?
It's just weird. The way you get down to it is just strange. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with...
But you got down to it in a nightclub, did you? Ba-dow.
Ba-dow. Wow. Before we go on...
I'm too tired to do it.
I ought to point out now that we've got... three of us here, and Aid isn't here because he's useless and double booked it. And we're all doing talks here as well as recording a show.
Yes.
And Jono did his talk this morning. Matt's doing his tomorrow. And I did my talk yesterday, but these two weren't here. Don't think you would get away with not mentioning this. Jono and Matt, incompetent bastards that they are, missed the plane on the way out.
Yeah, in our defence, there were circumstances beyond our control.
What, you were driving around in an illegal car without a spare tyre?
The circumstances beyond our control is that Matt's a dick and didn't have a fucking spare tyre.
And my tyre blew.
So. I figured I should assure him all the way here that it's not his fault until we record this show.
So they didn't get to see my talk, which is probably no bad thing, to be honest with
you. But I did get another night with my family.
So. Oh, well, you know.
Yep.
I missed out on a night with your family, so there you go. But yes, we're going to grab people and interview them. We're going to talk about various other things.
That's a plan.
Talks.
And I'm hoping this isn't distorting.
And I'll tell you something, right? We're recording the intro first, which is turn up for the old books.
Turn up for the old books, yeah. Fucking whistle and flute, you know, fucking hell. Wow,
no,
whistle
and
flute.
Should we get on with it?
Harry Noyland.
Hello. Can I put my pig through customs, please?
No Dave Neary.
Do I need to put a fragile sticker on my pig? I can't get it through fucking customs, you little bastard.
I'm going to take the dosh.
Do you know what? I've never yet seen a pig with a sign this way up on it.
They've normally got a Danish sign on
The reason for that is because you know exactly how to treat a pig. You filthy bacon fucking bastard. That came out wrong. Ah, shit.
Okay, we're talking to Matt Garrett.
Yes, we are.
The legendary Matt Garrett and his interesting suspend and resume stories.
Hello, his interesting suspenders.
How are you doing today?
Well, to be honest, I'm quite fucked.
Amazing.
Were you up late last night, Mr. Garrett?
I may have been.
Did you meet a lovely young lady and get a bruise on your leg?
What?
I've got a bruise on my leg. I've no idea about anything else.
Matthew Garrett sustained a self-inflicted sex injury.
Well,
he doesn't deny it.
I don't remember what happened.
There was a popping noise and then pain.
Matt Garrett has a French wank and gets an injury.
Anyway, should we
talk about SkyCon?
So, suspend and resume. Tell us about the exciting world of suspend and resume.
Well, it works.
Not on my laptop.
Yeah, well, everyone listening goes, not on my laptop, it doesn't.
I think, as I've explained quite clearly before, the only reason that it wouldn't work is because you're some sort of deviant.
Right, okay.
Any particular kind of deviant?
No, just general deviant.
So Matt, what...
I, unlike the two of you, actually saw Mr. Garrett's talk.
I've seen his talk. I've seen his talk in Sydney. Recorded on the internet and watched at home in England.
An entirely different talk.
So Matt,
unlike you, I've got more than one.
Harsh.
Hey, fuckwit. I've got more than one.
I thought it was interesting, actually, and you were wrong.
What?
You said, I'm not going to go on Matt Carrot's talk. He's just about suspended resume, and I'm bored by that.
There's a certain amount of that. I think it's an important thing, but you know.
But not a sexy thing.
It's not a sexy thing.
So how did you get interested in something so unsexy?
To be honest, I'm a really boring person.
Matt switched into journalism mode there, did you say?
No, that was
so what's it like being a prick every day?
Did you just, like, fall into it?
Yeah, pretty much. I had a laptop. I wanted it to work.
It's a pretty important thing.
I was pissed off about it not working.
See, so there's the open source thing. Because I've got a laptop and I want it to work. And then never got any further. And now you run the Ubuntu laptop testing team.
It is a pretty
important thing that a lot of people get hung up on, and I'm assuming that it works a lot more than people expect.
It does.
Sorry, were you going to embellish?
No, yeah, actually,
it's something that is fairly basic in many people's minds, I would have thought. So what are the issues? Why is it so difficult to get right?
It turns out that in order to make suspend resume work properly, the difficult bit is generally the resuming rather than the suspending.
Which is an important part of the puzzle.
Well, that's at least 50% of the issue, in my opinion.
Absolutely. The main issue is that when you resume, you need to be able to reprogram the hardware completely from scratch.
Yep.
And that's not what drivers usually do. So when you're booting, most of the hardware already works. The BIOS has programmed it for you.
Right.
You're having to reprogram it from scratch. And that's quite a bit more difficult, especially in cases where we don't actually know how the hardware works.
Right.
And you can't get the BIOS to do it for you on resume?
No, unfortunately not. Generally, the code used by the BIOS has been discarded at resume time because it's not needed after the system's booted, because your drivers do that for you, right?
Right.
And yeah. So if you're Windows XP, presumably.
If you're Windows XP, if you're Windows Vista, you're also screwed at the moment.
So is this a problem that the hardware vendors aren't giving you the information you need, and therefore you can't solve the problem? Because I'm assuming that if it can work in Windows, it should theoretically work in Linux. There's nothing stopping this from happening.
In some cases, it's because we don't have necessary hardware information. In some cases, it's because people just haven't written the code, and we have all the information necessary to do so, but nobody with the hardware and the skills.
Right.
Okay.
So why isn't there just like a standard...
libresume.
Why isn't there like a hardware standard where everyone... I mean, is that a naive question? Where all the laptop manufacturers do the same thing?
It would be really nice if that were the case. But no, unfortunately, laptop manufacturers hate each other. Mm. And hate you, especially.
I don't know if you live in a completely different world to the one I live in, but yes, people think up standards all the time and no one pays any fucking attention whatsoever.
There are standards for hardware, though, otherwise the fucking no fucking software would run.
Well, that's what ACPI was all about, isn't it?
ACPI standardizes a lot of it, and if you conform to the ACPI specification, then it's quite straightforward to get the hardware back into a basic working state. The trick is then, say, bringing up things like the network hardware.
Right.
And that does vary from manufacturer to manufacturer. The mechanism to bring up an Intel wireless chipset is completely different to the one used to bring up Atheros one.
Oh.
That's why we have different drivers for them. They're different hardware, they've got different programming interfaces. There isn't a standard, unfortunately. And the same's true for IDE interfaces, serial ATA interfaces, video controllers, sound chips. We have the same problems with all of them.
Is this something where, like, when we talked to Scott James Remnant about Upstart, he was saying that it, like, you could cascade things happening on boot. Is that the kind of thing that you do with suspend and resume, where a certain amount of things need to be switched back on, essentially?
Right. That's not actually too much of a problem nowadays. One thing that appeared in the 2.6 kernel was the concept of a unified device tree. So for every device in the kernel, we know what its parents are.
Right.
We know what its children are, and so we know what order we need to bring the hardware back up in order to ensure that the other pieces of hardware are... if we tried to resume it in the wrong order, obviously we'd have problems. You can't resume a PCI wireless card until you've initialized the PCI bus.
Makes sense.
Reasonable kind of thing. I mean, from what you were saying in the talk, it sounds like a lot of this stuff is theoretically fixed in that there's code around DIRT or there are drivers or whatever, mm-hmm. but Obviously, most people aren't going to have those. If you've got the latest version of something, Feisty or OpenSUSE, you know, latest version of Ubuntu or the latest version of OpenSUSE, is most of the stuff likely to be working, or are you still going to have to go in and tweak various things, download and compile your own drivers? Because the big difference between code theoretically existing and code actually existing for people like us rather than people like you.
If the code exists, then it's likely at the point, if the code exists at the point where a distribution is released, it's likely to be in that distribution.
Right. If the code exists, it's in the Ubuntu kernel.
Well, yeah, along with some code that doesn't exist, but just sort of materialised in there anyway.
So is there a lot of code that doesn't exist in the Ubuntu kernel?
I can neither confirm nor deny certain assumptions people may make about the contents of the Ubuntu kernel.
Right, okay.
But, I mean, Ubuntu, from the sound of it, Ubuntu and OpenSUSE are doing a lot of this, and the Fedora people are avoiding putting a lot of this untested weirdo code into their kernel.
The Fedora people have a more conservative approach to kernel support than Ubuntu and, to a lesser extent, SUSE do. And that's a perfectly reasonable choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
It means that the code that they ship has been better tested. They don't want to have to support this code that isn't being supported by the upstream kernel.
Now, big question. A lot of people who listen to Lug Radio, there'll be a lot of laptops owned by people who listen to Lug Radio. Is there something that non-developers can do to help this effort? I mean, is there, can they just run something on their own laptop if they've got a specific model of laptop that will help you solve this problem?
Actually, the latest Ubuntu kernel in Feisty has some new debugging features enabled that will make it much easier to determine what's right. causing machines to fail to suspend or resume. Unfortunately, we haven't documented that yet, but I'm hoping to have that done in the next couple of weeks.
So theoretically, right.
So when this happens, does that mean that it'll generate some output somewhere, but you'll still have to attach it to a bug report? Or is there going to be some kind of magic GTK pop-up thing which says, press this button to tell Matt Garrett why your laptop doesn't work?
To begin with, it'll probably be, please cut this out of the kernel logs and attach it to a bug.
Right, okay.
Ideally, yeah, we'd be able to do it in an automated way.
That'd
but
be cool.
I think that what we probably end up in that case was that I'd have 250,000 bug reports saying my laptop doesn't work.
That's your life now, though, isn't it?
Well,
you go
to
a fucking conference.
But it's all for the same laptop, which is the best thing. Yeah. My Apple MacBook doesn't work 129,000 times.
So who else is working on this? Like, you're the leading light that we know about, but I mean, are there any other teams other than...
There's several people working for SUSE who work on this. Unfortunately, they've all got Eastern European names that I can't pronounce.
Okay.
Matthewski Gorotsky or something.
Yeah, I hear he's very good.
Not very Eastern European, though.
No.
One of the questions that everybody always asks is, so if I'm going to go and buy a laptop, which laptop should I buy?
At the moment, assuming you've got the money to do so, buying one from either the T or X range of the Lenovo ThinkPads is probably not a bad bet, though better to go for ones with Intel graphics rather than the ACI ones. Those still aren't supported with open drivers.
Yeah.
Alternatively, any of the Intel machines from the HP business range, that's the ones that start NC or NW, are also generally likely to work quite well.
Good machines.
At the moment, support for AMD-based machines is probably slightly less good. And also, they're more likely to have Broadcom wireless cards that, well...
like my laptop, which doesn't work.
Well, if you would have read the specifications before you bought it.
Yeah, shut up. I have a little USB plug-in wireless.
He spent 3 fucking months researching the free laptop, finding a perfectly free laptop, and bought a laptop with the most proprietary piece of fucking network hardware you can possibly find.
And the graphics don't work either.
Yeah, I know. I'm very annoyed about it.
Good stuff.
But thank you
once
very
again,
much for that.
What do you think, Skycon?
Yes,
The bits of SkyCon that I've seen while sober
lazy
have
shit.
Been very good.
Been
the
very
bits
short.
Of SkyCon I've seen while drunk have, as far as I can tell, probably also been very good. Though I really wish I knew where this bruise had come from.
Yep, we'll find out. So
we should
the
have an investigation, yeah. I think.
Where did your bruise come from? Maybe our listeners could send
in
suggestions.
Yeah.
And maybe you could fix the laptop as a prize.
Yeah. You just enjoy selling my services for your personal amusement, don't you?
Well, would you be interested in fixing people's laptops at Lug Radio Live?
Ooh.
Oh, I hear that it's the best way to get the women.
Yay.
That's right.
Hairy men.
Yeah, that sounds convincing.
Hairy men and women. So, cool. Well, thanks for coming
Cheers,
on the show.
Matt. Thanks so much, Matt.
Bye.
Good to be here.
Right now on the show, we've got David Dolphin.
I think that's his real name as well. We're not just making it up.
I think you're very mean.
I think we need to be completely clear that this segment is dedicated to an individual adherent SkyCon.
Yes, we were in a talk the other day, yesterday in fact, and there was a gentleman in the audience who asked a question, and he spoke just like this.
It's a very interesting fella, and he had a pig under the arm.
He had an enormous ginger beard.
Coincidentally enough, his name is actually Lucky Charms as well.
No, and we found out that he's from Russia, and he's come all the way over to Highland. And what happened was, on the plane on the way over, he started off with a Russian accent.
He did.
And he landed with this one. And it started, I was demonstrating last night how it happened, right? He took off from Moscow. I was, it's how it worked on the way over.
That's exactly what happened.
Ryan O'Fair.
Ryan O'Fair and Aer Lingus.
Yes.
Aer Lingus.
Now, how can I put this to you? Should we begin with the interview at any point?
So, David Echo the Dolphin, why do you sound like a dick?
Like a what?
A dick. You sound like Darren Moran.
Dylan Moran. Sorry, Dylan Moran.
Talking to your microphone.
I don't know who Dylan Moran is. I haven't met him yet. Ah. I've seen him.
He's a comedian.
Yeah.
So you're one of the organisers of SkyCon. How did it go?
I'm the PR officer.
Oh, right.
In charge of designing the posters, designing the flyers.
Does that mean you have a truncheon?
Which?
Do you have a truncheon?
Respect my authority.
My authority!
So I've had to work with people like Red Hat, the organisers, making sure that their logos look okay and all the posters and stuff. I designed the programme, this thing.
That horrible noise was the first time.
I was just scratching myself.
So, doing all that, working with the website, our web admin, Steve Burke is around here somewhere as well, so working with him to do all the PR stuff for the conference.
You've done a fantastic job. I mean, you've been extremely helpful since we've been over here.
Yeah, I've been enormously helpful.
David
Dolphin. And you also look like Harry Potter as well.
Like Simon Willis. And I genuinely thought that he was Simon Willis when I first saw him, which surprised me. No way. I mean, whose idea was SkyCon? Do you want to talk about what Skynet is? Very, 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 very
Skynet
briefly.
Skynet is the UL Computer Society.
Of Limerick, for people who aren't at the University of Limerick.
The University of Limerick Computer Society, not the Unilever Computer Society.
That'd be well interesting, Unilever Computer Society.
We started officially 15 years ago, and this is our 15-year celebration set of talks. We've organised talks in the past. We've had talks from Google, Intel, HGNet before, from a variety of people. And we basically decided, instead of having one talk or two talks, we'll have a whole pile of talks together, and we'll get a good size of people along to them and have a bit of crack for the weekend, basically.
Cool.
So it all started really last year. In the last few years, the governing system in the university have been very generous to us with regard to budgets. And last year we went to MIT. 10 of us went to MIT for a week, which we were able to pay for the flights and accommodation from our budget. So the members only had to pay either spending money or
nice.
Yeah, when we went over to the US. So we spent like 6 days in Boston. We visited Harvard and MIT. And while we were there, we thought, we're probably going to have a decent budget next year. What should we do with that as well? And so from several drunken nights in the pub, we came up with the idea of having a conference, right? We were also planning on going to DEF CON this year, but I'm not sure if the DEF CON guys know what they're doing themselves. So we decided
that's similar. That's not a conference for deaf people, Mr. Bacon.
I never said anything. It was Ravel.
Lies, there is a video. We have digital teeth from the Lug Radio forums.
Shout out, hello, digital teeth.
Digital death.
We'll be talking to him later, or possibly earlier, depending on what order this gets mixed in.
Decided we'll have a conference of talks, and we've had various people drop out along the way and say they won't do talks.
Don't focus on that. Excuse us while we just stick the boot into Aid Bradshaw PLC for not showing up, as well as RMS.
Indeed. It is, as well as RMS, and Robert Shassel unfortunately got delayed on the way over by 4 days. So
So miss the entire conference.
The entire 4 days.
How very convenient. Yeah.
Is he arriving on Tuesday or something?
I think he's arriving to Shannon and then flying directly to Berlin so we don't lynch him.
Right.
No, he's a lovely man. But
who is he?
Robert Chassel.
He lives in a castle.
Consults program.
Consult program, yes.
Don't read out the spiel.
I do Lisp and Emacs stuff.
Oh, fascinating.
Lisp.
Life got a Lisp as well.
My favourite language is Lisp.
Yeah.
Works
on Emacs.
I must say a big thank you to both Red Hat, our sponsors, and the Sports and Arts Fund.
Hi.
Don't worry, I'll bleep over that bit.
Did someone say the C word?
So if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have been able to pay for your flights over. We would probably be charging a lot more than €40 for outside members and free to students. And that's like €25 to students and free to UL students. If it wasn't for the fact that we got such a huge amount of sponsorship for this.
Pretty stunning how much cash you seem to have in the old bank. Yeah. I mean, it's like you walk around and there's like a Fabergé egg holding a door open.
That does remind me, our missed flight fee from Ryanair is sorting out.
Right.
So,
because Matt's a spastic and didn't have a spare tyre.
To be fair, you didn't lose the tickets twice, right, from the US. Which
Who did that? Oh, I suppose you can't.
Someone did that.
Someone.
Val!
Maybe.
Really? Was it Val?
Well, her housekeeper lost them.
A housekeeper?
Apparently the housekeeper threw out the first second ticket.
There's clearly money in Colonel Hacker.
As if someone who's got a housekeeper needs someone else to pay for their plane tickets.
Did you speak to her butler to sort all these things out? Jesus, blah, blah, blah.
But you know, it's been a good weekend. We've had a lot of we'd like to do it again next year.
I'd like to do it next year.
Yeah, and invite you all back. As well, we'll hope to have all these talks online in some sort of OGG or MP3 format.
Well, the dude who's been doing the recordings, I was stunned at how quickly he got the recordings online.
Gareth Easton, Gareth's done a lot of. In fact, on the on Alan Cox's Wikipedia page, the only link to a recording is one of Gareth's.
Really?
So,
not for long when I get the radio interview on there. In about 10 minutes.
Gareth's done quite a few recordings for Skynet. They're not official Skynet recordings. He's doing them in his own time off his own bat. It's all his own equipment, which is being used.
Something I'm quite interested in is how difficult you found getting people along. Because
that's one of the hardest things. Yeah. Oh, surprisingly, one of the hardest things is actually getting interest. Like, even though you design posters, and we send posters to several companies, we send out, like, mail shots of posters. We went to Barcamp, which is you have Barcamps in the UK as well.
There's one on this weekend in London.
Right. We went to Barcamp in Waterford, and Laura went down and, you know, got people interested in it, but no one booked from that. Mm. Or maybe one or two people booked. The Tipsock guys, I was chatting to them about it, and... they wanted to send, like, I was chatting to the Tipsock's president or PR person, and they wanted to send about 30 people, but unfortunately they've got, like, projects and exams and stuff coming up, and so they couldn't do
it. Right.
And within UL as well, at the moment it's the end of the first week, and we had to have it during term time in order to get funding for it, so we could get student funding for it. And so, because it's the end of the first week back to college, everyone's just gone home for the weekend.
But it's pretty difficult, isn't it? Because, I mean, there's so many... events going on right now. Everyone seems to be doing that. I mean, we're obviously doing Lug Radio Live. You guys are doing this thing. And the UK has become a real hotbed of stuff that's going on. And I can imagine it's even more difficult because you're basically in the middle of fucking nowhere. I mean, it's like most people generally, certainly from England, who seem to come to Ireland, only ever go to Dublin.
Right. Pickle's coming here next weekend.
Eh?
To Limerick. Pickle is coming to Limerick next
weekend.
Yes, really?
Yeah. Our masturbating friend. Okay.
Probably the best way to get people to come to your event is to set up an enormously popular radio show.
Yeah.
Apparently that works.
Watch the rampaging ego spread forth.
What would you do differently next time?
Wouldn't hold it in Limerick.
Wouldn't invite us.
No, definitely invite you all back again.
Excellent, we'll be back.
Put more money behind the bar.
I think, first of all...
Send us by British Airways as well.
I'm not drinking ever again, incidentally.
Yeah, with respect to the drinking, realign the timetable so that we don't have to be in at 10 in the morning.
Yeah, that's something we found on Sunday morning at Lug Radio Live.
Yeah, so I think maybe 10 o'clock on Friday is fine, 11 o'clock Saturday, 12 o'clock Sunday kind of thing. So, you know, progressively get later as we get drunker each day.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty decent. I mean, it's a nice combination of some good talks you know, the social aspect.
It's a good socialising.
Because that's really, I mean, one thing that Ak and I were talking about yesterday was that there was like an hour session of just 5 minute quick talks. Yeah, and that was talks. And that's something we are going to royally steal for Look Radio Live.
Yeah, we are.
That's a brilliant idea. I mean it's nice and quick and sharp, and I've seen that at other conferences, and it works.
We do lightning talks at Look Radio Live, but a lightning talk's 25 minutes long or 20 minutes long or 15 or whatever, but I really like the idea of the 3 minute
talk. It's more of a light bulb talk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lightning.
No, but like I gave a lightning talk yesterday on reverse engineering, and I put my name down as Val was getting up to give her first talk.
Yeah.
And I was taking down notes on my phone while everyone else was going, and I still gave, you know, a reasonable
talk. Good. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Dolfo.
Thank you for running SkyCon and then inviting us.
Just before we finish, can Matt, please, can you do your dolphin impression? And now, the Irish version of the dolphin.
Excellent. Thank you very much, thanks. Harry Potter.
Thanks very much, Simon Willison.
Thank you.
We're talking digital teeth from the radio forum.
That's real fast. What's your
mental memory? Oh, right. Yeah. Talking to Niall O'Brien, who's delegate, is that the word? Here at SkyCon?
Attendee, I don't know.
Attendee at SkyCon.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think of the conference.
Very good. I'm the only person here from Tipperary Institute.
Exactly, it's a long way. To Tipperary.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
It's a long way to go, I understand.
I was just about to make the same fucking obvious gap. Anyway.
But I heard about SkyCon online and said, yeah, it'd be something really cool to come along to. I haven't seen much of these kind of things happen a lot in Ireland. Mm. Like, as Dave said, we have Barcamp, and that was on in Cork, and then last month it was on in Waterford as well. But there's not a whole lot that does go on in Ireland. So obviously coming along to these things is... It is great. At the end,
it's good to see lots of stuff. You know, to go on.
Sorry.
Well, comedy Father Ted reference. So you're enjoying SkyCon then? I mean, do you think? What is there anything particular that stands out in your head that's been particularly good?
I missed Matt's talk this morning.
Oh, it was astounding.
It was a work of pure shite.
Okay. Hey,
too hungover.
That's a bit harsh, to be honest.
No, it's very good.
No, but I actually really liked your talks as well. And
fantastic.
Yeah, and of course, Ak was actually doing as well with the widgets. Jackpot. That's something that I really did find interesting as well. Because, you know, you're pretty much familiar with everyone else that's here and all of the other projects that they're working on. And we all went along, what the hell is Jackfield? You know what I mean?
That's a big bonus with your talk, I think, because a lot of people still have not heard of it. And
then
they're going to see it and it's got wow demo kind of value. I heard a very good review of your talk. Well, we heard it when we walked in. A couple of people said, you know, they saw your talk and it was
really?
Cool.
No, see, it was cool because you started off like talking about the problems, you know, the desktop and the web, and then some way of merging that, especially on the Linux desktop, and then trying to get all of the other kind of widgets that are out there from Yahoo and Apple and everything all working on Linux.
That was the idea. I certainly thought my talk was better than Jono's, I have to admit.
Amazing, that, isn't it?
Well, no, part of that's because I've seen Jono's talk before. But yeah, what
turned
else
into
have you...
a heckler, isn't it?
What else have you enjoyed about, I mean, about the conference itself? Would you like to see more of this kind of thing happen in Ireland?
Yeah, definitely. It's good to actually see something happening outside Dublin, for starters. Because everyone definitely thinks that Dublin is like the epicentre of Ireland. It's not. It's shit. Dublin is a shithole, you know what I mean? So
Guinness factory is particularly shit, incidentally.
Yeah, but like even Slayer are coming to Cork.
Yeah,
yeah, you know,
that's pretty cool.
Some bands now are even starting to go to different places inside Ireland.
Scream for me, Cork.
So, I mean, because that's something we were quite keen on with Log Radio Live, that it should never be in London. There is a world outside of London.
It's the exact same in Ireland. Everyone just thinks that Dublin is Ireland.
I think it's brilliant that stuff's going on and that people are taking the initiative to set up events like this. I mean, explain to me how the Linux community works in Ireland, because it's quite a bit smaller country in terms of population than, say, the UK. We have lugs all around the country. And from what I've seen, there's like one or two lugs in Ireland, is it?
Yeah, there's not a whole
lot. There's iLug and then Cork Lug, is it, or something?
I know iLug. I'm not sure of Cork Lug, but right. I'm based in Tipperary and there's nothing like that at all. So it's literally, if you know mates that are just into Linux, you know, no one has like set up a lug and deliberately go along to, you know, have meetings in the pubs or anything like that. You just kind of hang out and you just talk about stuff. And, oh yeah, have you seen this cool thing off. No, I must try it out, you know.
And that was kind of like the core inspiration behind people setting lugs up. And I remember about 10 years ago in the UK when there wasn't that many lugs, people would set them up because they found like three other people locally who use Linux, and like, wow, there might be other people out there who might come out of the
One thing that put me off setting one up in my hometown was I bumped into a weirdo in the news agents one day, and he saw me looking at Linux format or something, and he just fucking wouldn't shut up. Very similar.
He was just sat in a mushroom with a fishing rod.
But you know, you can't come across weirdos, and that kind of put me off in Clonmel. There's certain people that I wouldn't want to come across.
Yeah, I mean, what's the technical landscape like in Ireland? Well, I was watching one of the talks yesterday, day before yesterday actually, was from TJ McIntyre, who runs Digital Rights Ireland.
Yes,
and there's kind of, you know, a perception in the UK that Ireland's all a bit backwards and everyone still goes about on cows and everything. it's a lot less so than there used to be, but. Watching that talk, it's interesting that everyone's fighting all the same civil liberties, digital rights issues over here that we are in the UK, and that everyone is in the States and so on. Do you feel that Ireland's up there with the best of them in terms of getting the internet out of people and dealing with technology and stuff?
Not with the best of them, but we're not doing too bad. Broadband penetration in Ireland is actually still very poor. Very, very poor. Even like if you need to get ADSL, it is a pain in the arse.
Really?
If you're in a new house, you know, you could be waiting for ages to get a phone line in. And then I had the problem before, is where I didn't need phone service, but I still have to pay line rental for the phone. It's like, well, fuck, I just want broadband. You know what I mean? And it ends up costing a fortune. But I'm lucky, like in my hometown, broadband penetration is really, really good. But I mean, if you just go a mile away from my house, you won't stand a hope in hell and getting any form of broadband whatsoever.
Is that because outside the main towns, Ireland's reasonably rural?
Yeah, and a lot of the exchanges are outdated, and they don't want to update them.
But I mean, Ireland's pushing to be like a digital super hub and all this for IT jobs.
A digital super hub.
You see the sort of crappy government sort of phrases they use and all that, and it's
But they kind of keep that within certain areas.
Dublin or...
Yeah, like in Dublin, they have an area called the Digital Hub, and there's a lot of development kind of companies.
I was going to say, my brother lives in Dublin, and he moved over to work in Linux over in Dublin, and there's a number of companies over there, so it seems to be growing.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, like you say, there's a lot of rural things, there's no broadband penetration outside big cities and so on. On the other hand, there are a lot of companies who, when they set up a European branch, set it up in Ireland.
The euro.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why that
is. Google's here. Microsoft's got a fairly big presence in Sandiford, hasn't it?
Ireland is starting to get a lot more expensive now as well.
21% VAT?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
What's all that about?
And they used to, as far as I know, they used to have like a tax incentive for businesses to set up here.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's still
around. So it was, if you were in the IT industry, it was 0% corporate tax, wasn't it?
Really?
Actually, I think if they got an international company to set up in Ireland, you could get like a tax break for something like 10 years,
and
it's only after 10 years then that you have to start paying it.
Yeah. If you're a full time artist or a writer, you don't have to pay any income tax.
Really?
Yes.
Because you're a scumbag slacker.
Speaks the journalist.
Ex journalist.
But yeah, cool. Thank you for coming on the show and talking to us.
Cool. Teeth. No problem.
And you may well be sitting behind a drum kit in Seraphidion at some point. Fingers crossed. So.
Cool.
We're here talking about Alan Cox.
Hello, Alan.
Hello.
So, Alan, you're here at SkyCon, as we are. What have you been speaking about this weekend?
I started speaking about all the different groups of people we have and the useful things in the community, broad-on programmers.
Yeah.
So, things like artists, even the people we forget and think are always evil, like lawyers.
Right, okay.
People who do marketing for free software.
Ah, yes.
Not necessarily all evil.
People who do marketing for free software.
Yes.
Let's be specific about that, right?
Poor old Matt, honestly.
Hey, Bazaar's free software.
Yeah, how do you think the response to your talk went?
It seemed to go okay. It's often hard to tell. It seemed to go okay. Jokes when we had a go at certain groups. Marketing people are always a cheap one for a laugh.
To be honest with you, yeah.
Lobbyists particularly. So yeah, I think we did okay on that.
So I mean, what's key then to this is a discussion we've had on Love Radio many times. How do you get
non-coders interested in free software?
One of the most useful things, actually, to do is to treat them on the basis that they might also be human beings and they can't code.
Right, okay.
There is an attitude out there on certain people that there are people who can code, who coincidentally can also do social engineering, hacking, and everything else can still be cool.
Yeah.
And there are people who can't code and are therefore completely useless wastes of space on the planet. Which is right. Not, of course, the truth.
Not, sure. Not nice to avoid that kind of approach and behaviour.
Yeah, I mean, it does put people off when you treat them like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'd come across quite that extreme of behaviour, but I mean, I'm someone who can't code. And one thing that I find or sometimes difficult, particularly when approaching a new project or something, is the gap in people being able to explain what's important about a project in a way that, say, someone with marketing or documentation skills can understand and then turn into something that the end user can understand.
You need a certain kind of person who can explain very complicated things sometimes to end users.
Yeah.
There are some people who can do that. There are lots of us who aren't necessarily very good at it.
Right.
Are there people who you think are doing it successfully, doing a good job of getting non-hackers involved?
I think people in the Ubuntu project has actually done very well in this, and that they've managed to build up all sorts of teams of people doing things like CD distribution and stuff. And a lot of these are not necessarily programmers, but they've got big translation teams, all sorts of stuff going on. Some of it in Fedora, I don't think we're doing as well in the Fedora side on that, although we're trying to. And there are lots of groups where it sort of bridges distributions. So you look at things like Arabize, which is the Arabic translation project. And it's a huge project. It's not a programming project on the whole.
Right. So, I mean, with the way that things have moved forward over the past, I'd say 3 years, things have got progressively better for non-coders within the free software community. Other than, say, Ubuntu, who do have a number of kind of peripheral teams, such as the art team and quite an active documentation project, what non-Linux distribution projects do you think are doing particularly well? I mean, because OpenOffice always seems to have people around it who are doing non-code
OpenOffice
things.
OpenOffice has deliberate teams who do things like marketing,
mm.
which is a very interesting one. And OpenOffice, in some ways, is organized very much like a proprietary software organization. It just happens to be mostly free software.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Jono talks about, Jono's not here, by the way, because he got too drunk last night. But one of the things he talks about is the community manager, is this kind of thing. And do you think there seems to be certainly a lot more awareness that you need someone in there to help tie bits of the community
yes,
together?
Yeah. And you need people who not necessarily people who make things happen, but people who make sure things can happen.
Facilitators rather than...
Yes, that's some of the nasty, horrible jargon.
Yeah, it is, correct. To be honest with you. I don't know why it just popped into my head. Catalysts, I suppose you'd call them.
Yes, it's not just a free software thing. You look at any volunteer project. I had never realised this until I was getting more involved in other volunteer project things. Mm. It's very much the case, not just in free software. You need a certain kind of person who just sort of oils the wheels and keeps things running.
Excellent. Cool. Okay. Tell us what you think of SkyCon.
It's been really good so far. I mean, far too many people drinking far too much beer.
Yeah. We are an island.
And it's been a good event. It's been interesting talks. Nobody sort of destroyed the Microsoft guy. They were polite to him and asked interesting questions.
That's interesting. Microsoft are increasingly sending individual guys to this kind of thing. And we're always very nice and very polite, and we say, well done, congratulations Microsoft for coming and braving the free software community.
Mm.
But on the one hand, that's their fucking job, you know, that's what
they're
here for.
They can't feel too scared, because they don't send them in threes with bodyguards.
But everyone is always very nice to them. I wonder whether we should go a bit harder on them sometimes.
What good would it do, though? I mean, the thing that I've noticed, because I've seen that talk a couple of times now, we saw it at the Reading HQ,
yes,
we saw
did.
It at Lug Radio Live, presented by three different people, you know. And the thing that they always do is completely fail to understand that it's about software freedom. It's not about, oh, right, we've got this kind of collaboration going on with Sugar Serum where we promise not to fuck them over. You know what I mean? So
That's the thing. It's always nominated. It's never Microsoft want to deal with everybody. It's always we want to deal with our nominated partners. Look, we deal with Sugar Serum. We say, okay, what about VTiger?
And I think
nothing to do with them. Not interested in them.
I think we could afford to be a bit harsher on them than on those sorts of issues.
In some ways, there's a problem with being harsher on them because a lot of the things that would be interesting to bring up are things the Microsoft guys genuinely have no choice but to stick their hand in there and say, my lawyer will not currently allow me to talk about that.
Right, yeah. Right.
Or more so, quite often, if you get a Microsoft guy on stage, you want to bring up everything that Microsoft are doing wrong. So so you say, what about DRM in Windows Media? And he'll say, I'm sorry, I've got nothing to do with the Windows Media team. So yeah, because they're a big company. Yeah, so every individual guy, his individual team, is probably not doing all that much wrong. It's the accumulation thing, and you could never get Bill Gates to come and speak at an event like this, yeah, or Steve Ballmer.
Part of the problem Microsoft have is they have been repeatedly caught in the past being extremely naughty. And once you get this kind of reputation, whether it's as a schoolboy or as a large company, it's very hard to get anyone to believe you when you say, I'm being really nice about this, and I'd like to borrow your kitten and I'll look after it.
Yeah, you know, we really do change it. There's increasingly kind of, Microsoft used to be this really bad, evil company who hated freedom two or three years ago, but now it's entirely different. And you think, well, okay, but I'm sure you said that before, and it hasn't been forgotten that the GPL's a cancer. So
I'm real communist. Don't forget we're real communist.
Oh, did you say that on Slashdot? Cuba apparently committed to open sourcing the government, and some people said that it was a bad idea because it would associate us with communists in the mind of the public, and therefore they shouldn't do it.
What were we talking about on the last episode with What Would Eric Do?
I can't remember what it was.
Something about domains.
Yeah.
No privilege of...
Nah, never mind. No. Anyway, but yeah.
Oh, I think it's more positive to send the Cubans Linux software than missiles. Yeah. Particularly the end of the missiles the Americans probably planned to send them.
To be honest with you, if you get the Cuban open office crisis, it's not that much of a worry. Excellent, okay. Thank you very much, Alan.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Yeah, and remember to wake Jono up.
Yeah.
So, that's it, SkyCon's nearly over.
I know, it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, but SkyCon, it is the end of the SkyCon,
I feel fine.
Back to work tomorrow. Oh, man, this has been fun.
I don't feel fine, I feel alcohol poisoned for the last 2 days.
Well, yeah, basically.
So, yeah, so what do you think, guys?
I've had a good time. It's been slightly different to what I expected, but then most things in life are.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I think they put together a good conference here.
Yeah, I think they've done really well. I mean, I can imagine, as we said earlier, it might be difficult to get people down all the way to Limerick. I don't know. Maybe I'm being unfair, David Dolphin. And I think considering that it's at a weekend when students and that aren't necessarily around the university and everything, I think it's been well attended. And
it's been
some interesting people here as well.
The thing that's been nice, I think. The thing that stood out for me in many ways more than the conference has been the social side. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like in the room, we've got the Dolphin and we've got Sarah. And there's the
Sarah have a surname? Do we know?
Is it
Sarah Corley Worley?
Isn't it Sarah
Nurian. Wow, it's like some kind of Nubian or something.
Something like that. Yeah. And then there's
Gaelic, possibly.
Clues in the question.
There's the two Maeves.
Mave 1 and Mave 2.
And
Maves
in pyjamas.
A bunch of
other hangers on.
It has been a good kind of social vibe. One of the things I thought was good, all the speakers are staying in a hotel, which is about 5-10 minutes walk away, and they've made sure that there's always been a bus every morning and a bus back every evening, and they've tried to keep it really quite inclusive.
I think the crack's been good myself.
It has.
The crake.
It's been a great crack.
And I think it's this is the kind of event. It's very Lug Radio Live-ish in the social side.
Yes.
The conference itself is much more formal than Lug Radio Live.
Yeah. But I get the feeling that, just like we did with Lug Radio Live 1, we learned a lot about what worked and what didn't. I think these guys are going to maybe change things slightly for next year. And I hope that, you know, this stays on and becomes the Irish equivalent of LRL.
That'd be great.
That would be cool.
And it'd be great because it's not in Dublin.
OLRL,
well.
Yes. Wouldn't it? Or Lug Radio
Live. Lug Radio Live.
O'LRL.
It'd be Lucky Radio Live.
Would you like to hear
Lucky Charms Live?
We need to get the charm man.
Yep, the charmer.
The charmer.
we are likely to interview a very charming man.
do you reckon we could hook him up with Judith Chalmers?
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
That'd be great.
And we'll make no further comment
about that.
About yes. any kind of...
yeah, it's been a cool show. We also say thank you to the Skynet people for inviting us.
Yes, and to all the hangers on there as well.
thank you very much. And thank you to Alan Cox.
Laura Chestikov.
Don't take the bitch. I got a savage kicking repeatedly from her last night.
Yep, Laura Kalashnikov.
Yeah, you may laugh, Ging Man, right? But she gives me
genuinely offended, actually, which is probably a good reason to stop.
She does seem genuinely
I said to her...
And she has threatened more than once today to cancel the taxi that's taking me to the airport.
I said to her last night, and I thought it would reassure her. I said, how can you complain about this? My name's as fucking stupid as yours.
This didn't seem to do the trick, as I imagined
Alan Cox insists that we should call you Sandwich from now on.
Have you seen this guy called Alan Cox in the Ubuntu community? Yes. Who's actually spelled C-O-C-K-S.
Really?
Yeah.
Alan poor soul.
Nice guy, but... bad name.
Named after more than one penis.
His emails always come from Alan C. I've noticed. Yeah.
Well, if your name was Dave Bellend, do you want to bring anyone sort of publicise it to the
anyway,
world?
Anyway, back to Skyka.
That's a place, isn't it, Bellend?
It is. Near my house.
No surprise
there. That's
that
then. Okay, so...
I always thought there was a Bellend in your house. Anyway, yeah, Skycon. So
it's been good. Yeah. I've enjoyed it, and we're just rambling and shit now.
This happens. Do you remember when we did the Linux Expo episode on the train?
Yeah. Oh. That was rambling bullshit. That was
people left the carriage. It was that bad.
Okay, so thank you very much for inviting us. Thank you very much for listening.
And we'll hopefully be back next year, I'd imagine.
Incidentally, this episode may be edited on Lug Radio in Chicosia. It wasn't recorded in
Chicosia. Recorded in Audacity.
For technical reasons, it was fucked. But I'm going to try and edit it. And if it's not, then yeah, we'll fix it. So.
Ah!
And this episode may contain swearing like feck and bugger and bejesus.
And pig.
Pig's not a swear word.
Pig of a porcine override. A porcine carrier.
What?
Is that the pee and pig?
No.
Pig's not actually an acronym, it's just a word.
I don't know, these things happen.
Right, well, thank you very much.
Pig 2.0.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Bye.